So we spoke last week about a tafas stam bris. Just want to speak of one machlokes about the exact din of a tafas stam bris, what it is. And we came out last week that, at least lachumra, any time a bris is done shalo kedin, so the person has to have a tafas stam bris done. So what exactly is that? So it's machlokes. The Arzurua Simon Sadi test, so he says what's pashit, is that you prick. You do a prick to the makam hamila. And that part that's exposed by removing the arla, that part of the gid, that's where you have to have the dam from. It's interesting, if you look at the Rosh Bayas, so he says something that sounds different. He says that if a ger comes to Bimagayer, a guy comes to Bimagayer, so he says if he has no gid, if his whole gid's been cut off, no gid, so he says then, you can't do a tafas stam bris. So since you can't do a tafas stam bris, how will he be Megayer? So he says, since he has no gid, he gets a din of a woman. And just like a woman could be Megayer without a bris, so too this fellow without a gid, he's pater from Mila, nothing to do, and he has a din of an isha, and he's Megayer with Tzvila alone. So what do you see from this rush, right? I see from this Rosh L'chaira that Hatafas Stam Bris is anywhere on the git. It doesn't have to be from the top of the git. It could be from anywhere on the git. So that's a machlokus. Where does it have to be? Apparently it wasn't so clear. Like the Chazner says, it's very important that the tafa should be done from the makam hamila, makam that's revealed from the arla. But he said some people didn't do that. There's some people who just did it anywhere on the gid. They pricked. It's just sort of interesting just to speak out what's the machlokas. The shorosh machlokas that's always interesting is that you, what's the bris, what's the mitzvah of the tafas stam bris? So Pashas Arzurua makes a lot of sense. Is that why are you doing a tafas stam bris? Because we mentioned last week there's really two parts of the mila. One is getting rid of the arla, and the other is having a bris. So you could say is that you're getting rid of the arla, and then the point is v'haya b'psarcha l'os bris, that by doing a bris mila it'll be an os bris, that the os bris is that there's no arla. The fact that sign there's no arla, that's a bris, that's an os bris. How do you turn it into an os bris? You turn it into an os bris by being motzi b'mativ dam bris. So l'chayr, it has to be for the makam bris, because the whole point is you're turning it into an os bris. So I thought the Arzurua is very pashut. If it's lower down on the gid, so that's not the makam of the os bris. Right, l'chayr, by yid and l'chayr, that's the same. We don't take off the skin there, so that's not the os bris. L'chayr, the pshar and the rush, is more. The Chor of Pshar and the Rosh is that he's understanding that the bris is where it is. Right? Why is the bris down there? Why isn't it on the finger? Right? Especially out down there, as we find in Zohar and Svarim, is that the Yisod is that it's the Chasima of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that a person, when he gets married, it's going to be B'Kedusha, he's not going to do Znos, he's not going to marry a Shiksa. Zohar says that's the bris. The bris is you're not going to marry a Shiksa. So the Mela in Cain, it's understood that the whole Gid, the whole Aver, is all the proper place to have the Os Bris. Right? The Os Bris is on the Aver, and therefore that's where the Bris is. So that's the Machlokas Rishonim. Find a Kuflamid Hey. The Ba'asi tells us Chiddush. He tells us that there's only a din of Mila Shmona on a person whose mother was Tamei Tumas Leida. He learns from the Pasuk Kisa in Tazria. The Pasuk says, Isha ki Tazria, v'yolda zachar, v'tama shivas yamim. And then it says, v'yoma shmina yimel basar arlasa. So it says there that a person whose mother gives birth, and they learn that she gives birth in a normal way, and then she becomes Tamei Tumas Leida. And then, on the eighth day, after the finish of the Tumas Leida, you do the press. It says Rav Asi, that this din of Brish Shmona is tied to the mother being Tamei Tumas Leida. And therefore, if a baby's Yotzei Dofen, so you're not going to have a Brish Shmona. Right? Yotzei Dofen isn't called V'yalta, because that's not a regular Leida, and therefore there's no din of Brish Shmona. So too, if the mother's not Tamei Leida because she's a Shifcha, Shifcha Shalom Tavla, she's not Tamei Tumas Leida, and therefore the kid won't have a Amila of Shmona. There's other examples of this, and on days we find another example. The Gemara says that a baby who has two Arlas doesn't get Mila, it has an exclusion here from the din of Mila. Why? So there's a drasha because it says, Yimol Basar Arlaso. Arlaso means one Arla, not two Arlas. So if there's two coverings, there's an extra level of Arla skin covering this baby's bris. So that bris will not have Mila Shmona. In Bava Basra, Kuf Chav Vav, you find another meat out of this pasuk. The pasuk says, Isha ki tazriel v'yolda zachar. It has to be she gives birth to a zachar. So says the Gemara, she gives birth to a tumtum, a baby who's covered up and you can't see if he's a boy or a girl. And then they do surgery and it comes out he's a boy. And they uncover. Tumtum shenikra v'nimsa zachar. He's found to be a zachar. So afal pikein, he's not going to have a din of Brish Shmona. Why? Because he's excluded from the parsha. Because when he was born, he wasn't a zachar. He wasn't... You do as a zachar. Tumtum is like a matzias of unknown, he's a zachar. And therefore, since he wasn't Yidua, known as a zachar, when he was born, there's no Brish Shmona. And it's a whole group of miyutim in the din of Brish Shmona. So the Gemara wants to know, what's this miyut from? Is this miyut, does it mean to tell me he gets his bris on day one, the first day that he's born? Or does it mean that, no, of course he still gets his bris on the eighth day, but it's not Docha Shabbos? So the Gemara has a suffix about that. The Gemara brings that it seems to be that the Maram, who understood that he gets his bris on the eighth day, just not on Shabbos. So it brings a machlokus that Rav Chiya bar Rav and Rav Huna had a machlokus about a baby who's Yosei Dofin, a baby whose mother isn't Tamei Tumas Leida. So will his bris be Docha Shabbos or not? How's that machlokus? Says, what's the din? Are you mechal and Shabbos for it, or will you not be mechal Shabbos for such a bris? So the Gemara points out that if the drasha of Tumas Leida tells me Bechlal, his bris is not on the eighth day, it's on the first day. So the Maram should have just phrased the machlokis of, there's a question, a baby is Yosei Dofen, does he get his bris on day one or on day eight? But they don't say that. They have their machlokis, is his bris Mechal Shabbos or not? It doesn't say which day it's on, it just says, is the bris Mechal Shabbos? So it sounds from there that it's Pashat, the Gemara says it's Pashat that both of them held the bris is on the eighth day. But the Manda Amr who held that a baby with two Arlas, or a baby with who was born from Yotzei Dofen, from a C-section, so there's a Manda Amr, you won't be Mechal Shabbos, but of course there'll be Mila on the eighth day. So then the Gemara says no, Rav Asi says no, Hava Hatalia, can't be. Avada, this baby, these babies that are excluded, their bris is on day one, not on day eight. Why? He says, because Haba Hatalia. If you want to tell me that the bris is on the eighth day, so if it'll be Yom HaShmini, Shmini's Docha Shabbos. If you want to tell me they're not Bechlal, this mitzvah, so they're not Docha Shabbos, but the bris isn't on the eighth day either, because it's excluded completely from the din of eighth day, and therefore the bris is on the first day. So that sounds pashut from our sugya. The end of the sugya seems to be going with Rav Asi and saying that if a baby is born C-section, the bris is on the first day, on the actual day of birth. That's the pashut from the Gemara. So comes the Rambam, and the Rambam writes, not that way, the Rambam writes the halacha, He says that the bris, everyone's bris is on Shmona, even if they're excluded from the Pasuk. Right? Everyone's on Shmona, right? Except for the exceptional case that the Gemara talks about if you buy an Eved, Taka, there's a din of being Mila on Yom Echad. But any Jewish baby, even if he's excluded from one of the Mi'utim, his bris is still on the eighth day. And it's just that it's not Mechal Shabbos. Mechal Shabbos, you're not going to be Mechal Shabbos for the Yotzei Dofin, but the bris is still on the eighth day. The Rashbam writes in Baba Basra, Kuf Chafav, and the Ravid, though, is massive. The Ravid says you're going against the Gemara. The Gemara says the Feirush, Haba Hatalia. If the meal is on Shmona, it's Docha Shabbos. If it's not Docha Shabbos, the meal is on Yom Echad. So the kash is what to do with the Rambam. The Rambam, which is also the Pesach of Shulchan Aruch. Meal is always on the eighth day. Just a question of Stocher Shabbos. So first of all, what do we do with Rav Ashi's kash? Rav Ashi says, Hava Hatalia. How could you split between that you do have a chiv of having a bris on the eighth day, but it's not Stocher Shabbos? But there's no suffix here. We know what it is. It was a Yotzei Dofen. The other shaila is, why would the Rambam not passing like Rav Ashi? Our Gemara seems to come out with Rav Ashi, right? We mentioned Rav Huna and Rav Chiya by Rav as possibly having a different shita, but it seems pretty clear that Gemara's maskana is like Rav Ashi. So where's the Rambam coming from? Well, so Rav Chaim says, he says a Pasha Teretz, he says, how do you answer that's not Haba Hatalia? How could it be if it's not in the Pasuk? It's not until Tumas Leda, so it's not in the Pasuk in Tazria. How could it be that it has Mila Shmona? So he says the Pasha Teretz. He says the Teretz is because there's two mitzvahs of Mila. We mentioned this once. There really seems to be two mitzvahs of Mila. There's one mitzvah of Mila that was given in Parshas Lech Lecha, given over to Avram, before Matan Torah. And then, at Matan Torah, there's another mitzvah, Parshas Tazria. There's another parasha of Mila. And the Mela, in the parasha of Tazria, that's where the Pasuk says, Ubiyom Hashmini, and we Darshan Ubiyom Afil B'Shabbos. So in Tazria's parasha, that's telling me that's the Makkah that is Docha Shabbos. So when it's Docha Shabbos, so there's another number of Miyutim, it tells you that a Yotzei Dofin is not in that parasha. So the Mela, it's not in that parasha, it's not in the parasha of being Docha Shabbos. So therefore it won't be Docha Shabbos. But will it get its bris on day 8? So of course it will get its bris on day 8, because even though it's completely excluded, it's not in the parasha of Tazria, but it's still in the parasha of Lech Lecha. Parashas of Lech Lecha, there it just says there's a meal on the 8th day, even if it's not Tomei Tumas Leida, right before Matan Torah, there was no Tumas Leida, and this din was given. So we see there's a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah given to Yom HaShmini, even if it doesn't, even if it's not Tamei Tumas Leida. Mamela, Lagabi, that mitzvah you do on Yom HaShmini. But to be Docha Shabbos, you need a special parasha of Tazria, and it's not on that special parasha of Tazria. So that's Rav Chaim's teretz. It's a very posh teretz. The problem is, Rav Ashi also knew that teretz. Right? You didn't even take, it's pretty posh teretz. I maybe I wouldn't have, but I think I would have said it myself with that Rav Chaim. But Rav Ashi for sure would have said it. So why didn't Rav Ashi didn't buy into it? And the Gemara really addresses this. Right? The Gemara says, Abaye said to Rav Ashi, what are you talking about? What do you mean that he's Nima Le'echad, if Yotzei Dofen? He says, Kodem Matan Torah Yochiach. We had a bris before Matan Torah, before there was such a thing as Tumas Leida. And yet there was Mila Shmona. So how could you say there's no bris Shmona? Right? So we never, how could that be? So says Rav Ashi, he says back, he says, Nitna Torah v'nischad shahalacha. Ein achinami. The Torah was given, and the halacha changed. You're right. It used to be that bris was on Shmona, but now the Torah refined its mitzvah, changed the mitzvah from what it was, and now it's a different mitzvah. Did you see the mitzvah Mila that said Yom 8, even if the mother is not Tamei Tumas Leida, even Yotzei Dofen? After Hasina, the mitzvah changed, and now the mitzvah is only Mila Shmona if it's a natural birth. It changed. It didn't change. Yeah.
Does that mean there wouldn't be Priya either?
That would be...
Would it go back to... There wouldn't be Priya.
Wow, wow, wow. Okay, that's a Lamed Shakasha. That's a very Lamed Shakasha. So the Ikur we hold is that even at the Matan Torah there was no Priya given. Mm-hmm. Right? That the whole din of Priya is only given later. And it's a Gzeres HaKasav, that since it says Malas B'nei Yisrael Sheinus by Yeshua, the Lach Moshe Sinai, that once you get Eretz Yisrael, if you don't do Priya, it's like there's no Mila either. That's interesting. Okay. That's what to think about. Okay. Fine. So Rav Assi seemed happy saying that no, there's no such thing as the Mila of Lech Lecha. The Mila of Lech Lecha was changed. And now there's no din of Mila Shmona. So that's what Rav Assi holds, so now we're back in trouble again. Right? Because now, how did the Rambam know not to go like Rav Assi? How does he know to go like Rav Chaim and say that the mitzvah of Lech Lecha is the mitzvah of Lech Lecha is still a mitzvah, it's still binding, and there's a dinner mitzvah Shmona, and Tazria is just a miyat l'gabedit in Shabbos? How did Rav Chaim... How did the Rambam not know that? Why don't we go like Rav Assi? Oh, so this is where Rav Chaim gets sharper. So he says it's really a different Gemara. There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin and Tess. And based on this Gemara, he says you see there's a machlokus Amaram, 2 days in the Gemara. What happened with that mitzvah to Avram Avinu? That mitzvah to Avram Avinu, is it still in effect? As if nothing changed? And then on Matan Torah, there was an added mitzvah added, a second mitzvah of Mila? Or is it like Rav Assi that it's all just one mitzvah of Mila? There only exists one mitzvah of Mila, and it's the new mitzvah of Mila that was Mechadish by Har Sinai. So this is subject of Gemara on Daphne and Tess and Sanhedrin. So the Gemara is talking there about the bris given to Avraham Avinu and wants to know, this bris, this mitzvah, does it still apply today? And they're dealing with a big nafkamina. The big nafkamina is who's chayiv in the mitzvah. If the mitzvah is just from Matan Torah, so the only ones chayiv in the mitzvah are Klal Yisrael, who are at Har Sinai. If the mitzvah of Lech Lecha is still in effect. So then, the Pashtus, there's a mitzvah on all descendants of Avram Avinu, which is definitely a lot of people, right? Potentially, this is definitely a lot of, you know, a lot of nations from Avram Avinu. Oh, so the Gemara says Yisod, big Yisod in Sanhedrin, that any mitzvah that's only mentioned once in the Torah and commanded to Bnei Noach. So then, when the Torah came, that mitzvah became binding just on Klal Yisrael, and the mitzvah to Bnei Noach is over, finished. There's no more mitzvah to Bnei Noach, once there's Mamre Har Sinai. And the idea being is that before Har Sinai, all of mankind had some level of Kedusha. They're all one group. Right? Once we got Torah, so now the Kedusha went to Klal Yisrael, the Jews became Jews, and the Goyim became Goyim, and the Mela, Stam, a mitzvah given to the Goyim before Matan Torah, they lost their Kedusha, and now it's only binding on Yisrael. So the Gemara says that, for example, by Pru Urvu. Right, big Chiddush. Gemara says, not everyone knows this, Pru Urvu was given to Adam Harisha, all of mankind. Beautiful, right? They always thought, oh, Pru Urvu, we're finally finished with the mitzvah Pru Urvu. Look, the world is so populated, right? All the continents, millions of people. Pru Urvu, Milu was Aretz, right? Everything's great. Why do we even have to have kids anymore, right? There's so many people. Oh, so the Gemara says an answer. I don't know if anyone thought that. The Gemara says that no. Ruach Vu was given, but it wasn't repeated to Klal Yisrael, and therefore it's only on Klal Yisrael. A lot of Goyim out there. But Ruach Vu is we want to fill up the world with Klal Yisrael. Nice from Yidden. Goyim don't have that mitzvah anymore. They have Shiva mitzvahs b'nei Noach because, why? The Gemara says because they're repeated. It says anything that's repeated to Klal Yisrael, so the fact that it's repeated to Klal, it says low signal to Klal Yisrael. That teaches me the Isra of Gzela given to Goyim is still binding. But Ruach Vu not. The Gemara says also very interesting, the Gemara says about Gid HaNasha. Gid HaNasha was given to Machlokas, but says Lefi one time Rabbi Yehuda was given already to Yaakov Avinu, Gid HaNasha. And therefore the Gemara says Gid HaNasha really would have applied to people outside of Klal Yisrael. If not, that since it wasn't repeated by Sinai, by Mount Har Sinai, it became binding only on Yisrael. Rabbi Yonah explains that. That shouldn't have made sense. But Rabbi Yonah explains, what are you talking about? Gid HaNasha by Goyim? Gid HaNasha was given and says, Al Kein Lo Yochlu B'nei Yisrael is Gid HaNasha. So Rabbi Yonah says, no. Before Matan Torah, there's no Gid HaNasha on any descendants of Yaakov Avinu. After Mount Har Sinai, it's only binding on Klal Yisrael. He says, came to me as a Chiddush, probably comes to you as a Chiddush, but it's not so crazy, right? When Hashem gave the Torah, he gave it, Shavuos time, Hashem gave the Torah to the people who Mekabel the Torah at Har Sinai. Did Yaakov Avinu have any great-great-grandkids who went there? We say, Binyamin, it's possible, right? It's quite possible. Over many years and marriages and lots of life stories. You don't know every story that happened over hundreds of years. So definitely could be there's people who are descendants of Yaakov Avinu who didn't make it to Har Sinai for, you know, for any sort of reason. What?
Didn't all die in the Choshech?
Maybe they all died in the Choshech, but maybe, okay, so that could be. Okay, but that would maybe kill Rabbeinu Yonah's Teretz, but not necessarily, right? Couldn't be someone had a kid who ended up not in Mitzrayim, or I don't know what. Okay, so let's say it's possible. In any case, so Enochanami, Gid HaNasha would have been on all of them, but since it wasn't repeated, the Kedusha was lost by anyone who wasn't at Mamon Har Sinai. Everything's just on the people of Mamon Har Sinai. And Mela, Pru Revu, and Gid HaNasha is only on Klal Yisrael. Oh, fine. Now, what about Bris Mila? So the Gemara is bothered. It doesn't want to say that all of Bnei Avram Avinu are in Bris Mila. That seems too much. But the Gemara gives two terutzim about this. So the first teretz the Gemara says is that no, the mitzvah of Bris Mila is only given to Klal Yisrael, only to the people who are at Har Sinai. After Mount Har Sinai, the mitzvah is only at Har Sinai because it was never repeated. It says it's one mitzvah. The mitzvah is given to Lech Lecha. Even though it's repeated in Tazria, it was only added in more halachas there in Tazria. It's coming to in more halachos. But really, it's just one mitzvah. And that one mitzvah, in a chinami, it was given to all Bnei Avram Avinu, but came out in Har Sinai, and all the Kedusha of the world went to Klal Yisrael. And the Mela, the mitzvah that was given to Avram Avinu was batal. And now the mitzvah just becomes the mitzvah of Matan Torah. And in the mitzvah of Matan Torah, things changed a little bit. And now we have this thing that Yosei Dofen is not included in the mitzvah of Mila Shmona. Oh, so that's very nice. And that's Pshat in Ravasi. That's Pshat in Ravasi. That it's just one mitzvah. And therefore, if you're not included in Parashat Tazria, it means you're excluded from the mitzvah. Now you have to get a bris, that you did understand, you do have to get a bris, but nothing to do with Shmona, and therefore the mitzvah is on Yom Aleph. Beautiful. Awesome. Where does the Rambam come from? So the Gemara goes on, has Nibas Ema, and it seems to be the Maskanas HaGemara. The Gemara says, Ibas Ema, no. Really, Be'etzem, all of Bnei Avram Avinu are chayiv in the Bris Mila. And Be'etzem, the bris was repeated. It was said once to Avram Avinu and once to Yisrael by Tazria, and therefore both mitzvos are still kayim. We have two mitzvos here. And therefore, it'll work nice with the Rambam. That the Pshat is that there's two mitzvahs, and the mitzvah on all B'nai Avraham Avinu is still there, so Einach Hinam, you're excluded from Shabbos, but you're not excluded from Rishmona. So the Gemara says, so what do we do? Who is Chayv of B'nai Avraham? So here the Gemara gets very interesting. And somewhat lahalacha. The Gemara says, which of B'nai Avraham Avinu are going to be chayiv and which are not chayiv? So the Gemara says that B'nai Esav are certainly not, don't have a mitzvah of bris. The Gemara says Yishmael doesn't have a mitzvah of bris, but B'nai Keturah have a mitzvah of bris. Right? Avraham Avinu's second wife, Keturah, so she had a bunch of kids, Midian and Shva and a whole bunch of kids. And all those kids, so those still have mitzvah of bris milah. How do we get this? So it says in Parashat Vayera, Hashem says to Avraham Avinu, "Ki Yitzchak yikar lechazera," that Yitzchak will be called for you Zera, and he's telling them the Pashuk Pshat there is he's telling them, but not Yishmael. Yishmael will not be considered your Zera. And therefore that tells me that B'nai Yishmael are excluded from Bris. It says, B'i Yitzchak, that excludes Esav. That B'i Yitzchak below Kol Yitzchak. That Yitzchak's going to have a son who's not included, and that's Esav. B'nai Keturah, so they weren't befeirish excluded. And Chazal finds a remez to include B'nai Keturah. The Gemara says, all Sanhedrin and Tess, quotes the Pasuk. It says, "V'arul zacher asher lo yimol v'nichrasa esbrisi hefir." It says, if an arul zacher is not mal, he's made from my bris. Who is the arul zacher? It says that's talking about B'nai Keturah. B'nai Keturah is still chayiv. And it's very interesting for our sugya. Rav Chaim makes a big point here, because if you look in the Rambam, he paskins B'nai Keturah are actually chayv and bris milah. The Rambam writes, he says, all the Arabs are chayv in bris. He says it says the mitzvah on Arabs are chayv and bris. Why? Not because they're from Yishmael. Right? They all think they're from Yishmael. He says it's because they're from B'nai Keturah. And B'nai Keturah, the Rambam says, got mixed up with Yishmael. But already Bisman Chumash, right? It says that Yishmael Pnei Kol Echav Nafal, that he inherited his land together with his brothers, the B'nai Keturah. Right? We see it in when Yosef sold, the Pasuk switches off between Midianim, who are B'nai Keturah, and Yishmaelim, who are Yishmael. So they're all one group, and he says, and that's why Arabs still do Mila, Ad Yom Hazeh, and they're actually Mechui B'din to do Mila, Midin Bris Avram. So Rechaim said, yeah.
So if they're
on
the first day, so then they're
battle it
for 15 years?
Well, oh, okay. All right, let's talk about that also. Let's talk a little bit. Okay, first let me just finish off what this... So this is, bottom line, this is going to answer the cash on the Rambam. No, the Rambam's going to come on the Sanhedrin. And the attack is still kind, this mitzvah of Avraham Avinu, and that's why he paskins Lalacha. That is a mitzvah for B'nai Keturah for Arabs to get a bris milah. Oh, now just what exactly is their mitzvah? So that's interesting. I would say, I'm Yonasan, the Minchas Chinuch says that they only have a mitzvah to milah, not priya. So they never got priya. Okay, but what's their mitzvah? It's an interesting thing. So the Rambam says their mitzvah is on the eighth day. So it's interesting. There's a Rush. The Rush writes, and Tosfos HaRashi writes in Sanhedrin, their mitzvah is dafka when they become gedolim, when they become a gadol. It's interesting. Where does he come from? So he points to the pasuk. The pasuk says, "V'arul zachar asher lo yimol v'nichrasa." Arul Zachar Shalo Yimol. Who's that at bris? So it's not saying a mitzvah of Ben Ches, getting a milah. It's being said in Arul Zachar.
Arul Zachar, that's the makur. The gadol has to get a milah. But it's quite interesting. I find it very interesting that in the Arab Masorah, you know what their Masorah is? They have no Masorah b'chlal getting bris on the 8th day. They don't even have a bris. I thought it was 13. They don't have a bris of getting on 13 either. 13, I thought it was like Yishmal. Their bris is whenever, before the boy hits puberty, they have to have a bris. So Smaushka says, V'arol Zachar, Asher Lo Yimol is going on them. Somehow they know this. I don't know how they know this. Masorah shows the power of Masorah. It's so powerful. Even Arabs can keep a Masorah. Wow. Now, where's it coming from? I just had a thought. Let's see. Maybe we'll end with this. Where do you see that in the pasuk? V'arol Zachar Asher Lo Yimol. Where do you see B'nai Keturah there? How do you see? V'arol Zachar Asher Lo Yimol. How's that a remez that B'nai Keturah Chayv and Mila? How do you see that? So I had another kasha, which helped me answer this kasha. Another kasha is the Gemara, probably saw in the Moses Zarech of Zion and in the Yivamus. The Gemara says, in a number of places, that an Aravi Mahal, even an Arab who's mal, he has a din of an aral. He still has a din of an aral. I look more at the song, but if someone says, I'm not going to get hanach, my relim, he can't get hanach even from an Arab, even though the Arab has mila, because he's considered an aral. He's an aral because whatever, he doesn't have the kedusha of Mam Har Sinai, and he's considered an aral. Oh, so I thought maybe you could say like this. The pasuk's funny. There's something funny in the pasuk here. It says, "Va'arul zacher asher lo yimol." It's a funny lashon. First of all, it's superfluous. "Va'arul zacher asher lo yimol." Well, if he's an arul, of course he wasn't mal. Remember, "Arul zacher asher lo yimol." It sounds like you're saying an arul. You can have an arul zacher who was mal, an arul zacher who's not mal, and an arul zacher who's not mal. Gets cars. So what do you mean an Arul Zachar? If you got Mal, he's not an Arul. So that's the Pshat. The Pshat's saying like this. No, but Arul Zachar Shel Lo Yimo. Arul Zachar, we're talking about a person who's Be'etzim an Arul Zachar. If he's Mal, he'll also be an Arul Zachar. But if he's not Mal, then he gets cars. So who's that talking about? That's talking about the Arabs. The Arabs, so if they get Mila, there's some shaykhis to the bris. Okay? Right? We don't like that to be true, necessarily, right? But that could be true. You know, they say that's why the bris is state that the bris is what gives us, is on the bris of Sarim, which gives us a shaykhis to Eretz Yisrael. And that's why the Arabs still feel they have a shaykhis to Eretz Yisrael, because they still have a shaykhis to the bris. Right? We have to show that no, there are Reilim. In Chinam they have a bris, but they're still Arul. We have Shaykhus to Kedusha, right? So that's about the Avodah. So that's the Maskana, that Bnei Keturah Chayv, and therefore midin that special mitzvah. There's a din of Mila Shlona. Okay, should I say one last thing, or we're nervous to get to the chasana? I'll say one last thing, just because next week we have to do another finish, and I want to hit every sugya a little bit. Just say just something small here on the sugya. Sugya here, maybe we'll talk more next week about Pidyon Aben and the sugya of Nephalim. Right, there's a din, just say, Gemara says, Kuflam Heim and Beis. It says, Rosh Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Kol sheshah lamed yom ba'adam eino nefel, shenemro ufudu yom ben chodesh tifta. Until a baby's 30 days old, only then does he come, he's not a nefel, and that's why it says, Pidyon Aben is on the 30th day. Meaning, Rosh Shimon ben Gamliel learns that if a baby lives for 30 days, he's for sure not a nephil. We'll see, even if he was born in the 8th month, he's for sure not a nephil. Until he lasts 30 days, he's still a chashash, maybe he is going to be a nephil.
Maybe he's not completely developed, and therefore he's an Eiffel. Then it says, so too by a behema. A behema under 8 days old is a suffix Nephil. And afterwards, it's shown out a Nephil. And it goes to Pasuk, Miyom Hashemini Vahala Yeratzel Lekarban. On the eighth day, you could bring a behema as a carbon. Before then, you can't bring as a carbon. So therefore, you see that he's not a Nephil after 8 days, the animal. So it's a big shayla, pashup shah. What does this mean? Right? So Rashi seems to say, Kipshuto, that there's no pidin aben before 30 days because it could be he's an eifel. Therefore, if you are podah, if he would die young, you'd assume he's an eifel. But he said you can't do it before 30 days because he's still b'chal safek eifel. And by Midbar, Rashi says the same thing. He says that the Leviim are counted from day 30, because before then, they're b'chlal safek nefil. So they're not counted. Well, so the problem is that everyone asks on Rashi, even though he just explained Pasha Gemara, but they say that can't possibly be, because what if he's not a nefil? You say, what if you do Pidin HaBen within 30 days? Right? You do Pidin HaBen. So there's no mitzvah, and there's no din of pidin aben. Like Gemara talks about, if you could do pidin aben, if you give the money early and say the money shouldn't make pidin until after 30 days. But if you're poida for day 15, the pidin doesn't work within vaday. It's also pointed out, this first Gemara Rosh Hashanah, it says even if the animal's not a nafel, even if he lives long life, but you couldn't bring the carbon before 8 days. That dinner before 8 days, it's a complicated. It says even if you know there's kalul chadashav, you know this baby's fully developed, athel pikein, there's a din that a carbon can't be brought before 8 days. So says Tosus and most Rishonim that pidin aben is exeris akasiv. You can't do it before 30 days. So even if it turns out he's not an angel, this kid is 30 years old, but he did his bris before day 30, right? So he's done that as part of a mitzvah. So Mela, he has to do Pidin HaBen again. It's not just that he's a suffix, oh, maybe he's an angel, but right? It's until 30 days, there's no mitzvah. So they all ask on Rashi, how could it be? How could this be? That we could say that it's just a chashash nefil. Right, Nephil is not so common, right? So it's really just a mir, right? So I don't worry about the mir. I'll do my pidin aben early. I don't want to wait for 30 days. Let's do it with the bris. Maybe it'll be a Nephil, and the Kohen is stealing my 5 slum, and it's going to be hard to get it back from him. That's not what I'm worried about, right? So that's not true. You for sure can't do that. For sure you have to wait till day 30. So what's Rashi talking about? Maybe that's what the Gemara is talking about. So other Rishonim say, no, of course that's not what Rosh Hashanah Ben Gamliel meant. He just means on the fact that at day 30 we see Pidin HaBen, it must be he's not a Nephil anymore. And therefore, in a Chinami, the reason it's on day 30 is because there's a Kassid. But if he was still a Nephil more than day 30, so then we wouldn't have given a mitzvah like Pidin HaBen then. Oh, it must be that after 30 days you're not a Nephil. But Avad, if you're going to ask me why is Pidin HaBen on day 30, the answer is because there's a kasav. Not because until day 30 he's a suffix nafel. Rashi says not that way. He says there's no bris until day 30 because until day 30 he's a suffix nafel. So I just thought we could say to explain Rashi, really to explain Parshas HaGemara, is that of course Pidin HaBen is Xeris HaKasav. You can't do Pidin HaBen before day 30. You can't bring a 2-day-old. If you bring a 2-day-old animal as a carbon, it's Pasul Midin Vadai. We don't say, oh, maybe it's Pasul because there's a mere chance that it's an Eiffel. No, it's Mamish Pasul. Because Xeris HaKasav says that the first 7 days it has to be under its mother. On the 8th day, it could be a carbon. That's Pashat. But the Pashat is, we're looking into the time of Dikra here. And we're saying that, why is it like this? The baby, it has to be 7 days, it has to be under its mother, and on the 8th day it could be a carbon. The pshat is the first 7 days of the baby's life, it's still completely dovek to the mother in the sense that its life it's living, but it's not necessarily that it has the koach to live, because its life is mikoach the mother. It's like an artificial kind of life. It's alive, but there's something artificial about it, because it hasn't really proven that it actually lives as an independent organism. So therefore, the first 7 days it's under its mother, it's not its own independent being, and therefore it's not fit to be a karban. Same thing when you're counting the Leviim, or same thing when you're doing Pidyon Aven. The first 30 days, it's like borrowed life. It's here, but it doesn't mean that it's really had its right to live. It's an independent being. 30 days you could live, just a baby could live up to 30 days, you know, just by what it was given by its mother. It was like, it was set in motion, but it doesn't really have any independent chiyus. After 30 days is when a baby gets independent chiyus. Oh, so therefore, that's the simen. The simen about if something's a nephil or not is 30 days. That shows it has independent koch of chiyus, and therefore that proves it's not a nephil. Before 30 days, it's still living on borrowed time, borrowed kochos, and therefore that's the reason, that's the time of dekra that the mitzvah of Pidyon Aven is on day 30, and Hakravas HaKarbon is only on day 8. The pshat is it's just tapping into the same time of dekra of at what age does a living being get its own independent source of chiyas that it could be seen as being independent. So that could be pshat. Meaning that it's Pidyon Aven is Gezeiras HaKasev, but from understanding the svar behind the Torah, Pidyon Aven, we say that living 30 days is a raya whether something is or is not on Nephil.